First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is that time again. It is the TNT radio show, Tuesday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. And we welcome you all in tonight. Looking up here at the Freedom Calendar, I see it is Tuesday, September the 9th. We are, I guess, unofficially back into the autumn season. You got a lot of the government indoctrination camps that we call schools that have just started back a few weeks ago. You got football season is in full gear again, thank God. And looking at this calendar, just got past Labor Day last week. And I will tell you that the next thing I'm looking at, we talked a little bit about jury rights day last week. But we've got this week in 1897, the Latimer, Pennsylvania massacre occurred, if you guys want to look that up. Before that, this week in 1826 was when Captain William Morgan was kidnapped. And oh yes, this Thursday is going to be the anniversary, September 11th, when New York City and Washington, D.C. were terrorized this week in 2001. Also got the Star Spangled Banner was written 200 years ago this coming Sunday. So a lot of historical events there. And we kind of try to keep our word and stay away from elections for most of the last couple of months. We know that after the May primary, we kind of went off the election mode grid. And for June, July, and August, we were talking about more, I won't say more important issues, but more things of the important matter at the time. We don't get into gossip here. We're not going to talk about what some football player did to his wife. We're not going to talk about the latest reality TV shows. We're not going to talk about any of that crap. But we are going to get back into talking about elections. And one event that we had been looking forward to for some time was our good friend of the show, James Comer, declaring to run for governor of Kentucky. And it happened today down in Tompkinsville, Kentucky. Hundreds of people flocked. Well, the mainstream media said hundreds. It was really over 1,000, maybe closer to 2,000 people flocked to downtown Tompkinsville. That was this event that was part pep rally and part homecoming for Mr. James Comer. And the crowd chanted Comer Country before Jamie took the stage. He is the current agriculture commissioner. He cleaned up the Department of Agriculture that Richie Farmer had soiled in many different ways. And you had Republicans from all over the state. And I'm sure some Democrats, independents, and liberty-minded folks also made it down to Tompkinsville today for the trip. And one of the honorary campaign co-chairs, Joe Kraft, said, to make our state's future brighter, we need a leader with new ideas to draw from the state's values and heritage. And as Comer made his way to the stage, you can hear John Mellencamp's Small Town blaring. Well, we know John Mellencamp or John Cougar Mellencamp, depending on which crisis of his midlife, early life, or late life we're looking at. That guy is a diehard in the wool Democrat, so he'll probably sue when he finds out that they played his song. And James Comer talked about how they have grown agriculture in Kentucky by 20%, $5 to $6 million. And he said that as governor, he would not be asleep at the wheel when some of our biggest employers are being courted by governors in other states. Now, I can tell you I was on the bandwagon for James Comer when he was running for agriculture commissioner in 2011. I was on the bandwagon for him in 2010. And we do full disclosure on this show. It's editorializing. We give you news that no one else is going to, but we tell you where we come from and when we like somebody and don't like them. And I was proud to have voted for Mr. Comer in both the Republican primary and general election for agriculture commissioner. It had been a long time since we had an agriculture commissioner we could be proud of after little Richie Farmer had screwed everything up. And I can remember when Mr. Comer, our good friend James Comer, the aforementioned candidate for governor now, had come to Louisville for a film about hemp. And he also was here for a raw milk film that we watched. And he didn't have to come to Louisville. It was a event with a lot of, I don't know what you want to call them, modern hippies, urban dwellers, if you will. And Jamie Comer had nothing in common with these guys except for, well, maybe he had more in common than we think, but we knew he stood with us with things like raw milk and hemp. And that stuck with us. Now, today, when he made his announcement, I really haven't come to a decision how I feel about his lieutenant governor candidate yet, but it doesn't matter how I feel about it. Number one, nobody asked me. But number two, a lieutenant governor doesn't really do anything except go around to state dinners, state funerals, state special events, and run for governor himself or stand in if, God forbid, something happens to the sitting governor. So he chose as his running mate to Jamie Comer, one Chris McDaniel. He is a Republican state senator. We just got elected to the state senate 2 years ago. And try to get some votes together to tell you where this guy came in. We know that when he ran for office in 2012, that he had the endorsements of Kentucky Right to Life and the NRA, which isn't saying a lot because we know those are very mainstream establishment organizations. Try to find out if I can get some issue ratings about how he has done in the state senate. And the only thing I can find is that he scored 92% with the NRA, so we know he's for gun rights. That's kind of to be expected if you're running for lieutenant governor as a Republican. So as we get more issues down the road, I guess we will tell you what we found out about the guy and where he stands, trying to find out if we have any public statements by him. We know that he is young. He's a young guy, just like James Comer is. James Comer is my age. I believe James Comer is either 41 or 42. And Mr. Christopher McDaniel is roughly, do the math right from the public schools, and he is roughly 37 years old. So it's a young ticket. We've heard about different people who may be running for governor. For better or worse, we have a lot more Republicans that seem to have announced that they're interested than we do Democrats thus far. We know Hal Heiner is a former Metro Councilman in Louisville who had unsuccessfully run for mayor at one time. He's running for governor on a Republican ticket in that primary. And we keep hearing the rumors that Kathy Bailey may get into the race, so we'll see if that happens. And heard a few words about Matt Bevin. But we'll see if any of that comes to fruition as we have a little bit more than a year until we elect a new governor, since Papaw Bashir, thank God, cannot run again. He is term limited out after these two terms. At least if nothing else, we won't have Papaw Bashir to kick around anymore. And that's always good news. So, step away from the governor's race. I will tell you that we had the final primary election for this year occurring up in the Northeast today. We had very late in the year primary elections in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Delaware, Rhode Island, and New York. And we say, well, what's on the ballot? There's only 56 days until Election Day. It was the final primary, like I said, for many parts of the country. In New Hampshire, we had a Senate Republican primary. The race between carpetbagger, former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, and incumbent Democrat Senator Gene Shaheen. They've been playing this out as a general election face-off for months since Brown conveniently moved to the state last year. But he actually has to win a primary today first. And why it matters is because he's up against former New Hampshire Senator Bob Smith. Yes, he's not the only former senator in the running. And former New Hampshire State Senator Jim Rubens. Now, they say Scott Brown is heavily favored to win. And we'll probably be hearing any minute now by the time the show ends, the results. But the expectations game is pointing out that this is a general election battle that could determine the control of the U.S. Senate. Stop me if you've heard that one before, because all you hear in this state between the Democrats and the neocons is how important the race between Mitch McConnell and Alison Lundgren Grimes is. And God knows they must believe it, because they're pouring more money into it than you're going to see in any race. Make no bones about it. Over the next 50 days, you're going to be so sick of hearing commercials for Grimes, from political action committees for Grimes, for special interest groups for Grimes, for McConnell, from political action committees and groups for McConnell. You're going to be sick of that. So New Hampshire is having their U.S. Senate primary, and they, of course, are talking about how it's such a big race, because as we know, the parties always tell us how this year is the biggest election ever. Don't you get bored with that? Don't you just get tired hearing about how every year it's the most important election ever? We heard in 2012, oh my gosh, it's the most important election ever. 2008, 2004, 2000, 96, 94, 92, we always hear that it's the most important election ever. Well, they're having another gubernatorial primary over Massachusetts. And even though you can seek a third term up there, don't give them any ideas in Kentucky, folks, from their own Commonwealth of Massachusetts. But even though you can seek a third term, the incumbent Democrat Governor Deval Patrick is not seeking a third term. So it's an open race with high-profile candidates on both sides of the aisle up in Massachusetts. Because despite it being a very blue state, could lead to a very competitive general election. Why does it matter? Well, on the Democratic side, the Massachusetts Attorney General, Martha Coakley, who's backed, of course, by the wonderful, beautiful people over Emily's List, she has come in first against her opponents in state polls. Guess what? In 2010, she lost to Scott Brown. Yes, I realize that Massachusetts and New Hampshire, they're right next to each other, but folks, it's the same recycled candidates over and over again. We know they like to recycle, but both parties love to recycle candidates, whether it be repeat losers or ballot jumpers or carpetbaggers, whatever you want to call them. But anyway, Martha Coakley, the attorney general, yes, that genital, not general, up in Massachusetts, she's going to face off against Donald Berwick, and you're going to love this guy. He was a Obama administration health care official, and he also will have an opponent in the Democratic primary in Stephen Grossman, the Massachusetts state treasurer. So that's going to be an interesting race up there in Massachusetts. And then on the Republican side, they have currently Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker, stop, you've heard this before, won the nomination for the party in 2010. And he's a former state secretary of finance administration. Now, he's got an opponent, Mark Fisher, who's a businessman more aligned with the Tea Party. Now, Baker is favored, but Fisher's trying to awaken the more conservative members of the party. And remember, we're talking about conservative members of the Republican Party in Massachusetts. Yeah, good luck with that. Sorry, just saying. But Fisher seems to think that there may be an upset due to conservative versus moderate GOP voters in the state. Baker has a more moderate approach, trying to appeal to voters in both parties ahead of the November election. And we know that the Democrat and Republican winners will have three independent opponents in November. So that's one good thing you can say about Massachusetts, is you've got a lot of competition up there. Granted, I get the fact that you may not like the candidates there on the ballot, but you know what? It's a starting point, folks. You got to at least have candidates on the ballot. Now, I know our good friend Ken Molman, who does the Sunday Night Show here on the network, Liberty Unbridled, will tell you that he thinks writing candidates are pretty much a farce, and I can't disagree with him, but that's why you have to get on the ballot, whether it be by hook or by crook in the Republican-Democratic primaries, or whether it be by having to get thousands and thousands of signatures in the Republican, or I'm sorry, in the Independents and Libertarians, if you want to be on the ballot. It's still a big deal to get on the ballot. And we need more candidates on the ballot. Now, Rhode Island is also having a gubernatorial primary today. And Governor Lincoln Chafee is not seeking a second term, thank God. So there's an open race for Rhode Island's top office. And the Democratic primary for Rhode Island's governor is a battle between state treasurer. It's always somebody in government already, folks. Gina Raimondo and Providence Mayor Angel Taveras. And then you have Clay Pell, who is a 22-year-old grandson of a late senator who represented Rhode Island for 36 years, the one for whom the Pell Grant is named. More names, more recycled candidates, more family bloodlines who think that it's their right, their duty, their birthright to be elected officials. Looking on down the ballot, I see New York as having a Democratic gubernatorial and lieutenant governor primary today. And guess what? New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has a Democratic challenge. Sure, I haven't heard much about this, but the liberal Fordham University law professor, Zephyr Teachout. I'm wondering if that's really their name, Zephyr Teachout. They're a professor and the name's Teachout. Maybe they changed their name. I don't know. But you're going to love this one. Fordham University law professor Zephyr Teachout claims that Andrew Cuomo is too far to the right, despite the fact that he got in legalization of same-sex marriage and a big gun control bill to take away your Second Amendment rights. This nut is running against him from the left, I guess you would say, because he's claiming that Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo is too far to the right. I don't really know what to say about that. It's just...
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
That's pretty much how Bugs and I feel about the matter. And finally, you have Republican primaries in New Hampshire for House members. And we know our good friends up in Free Keene, the guys who went up there with the Free State movement in New Hampshire. They have people could say, oh, they're carpetbaggers. No, they had a dream to put together a libertarian state, and they're doing the best they can. And while they will be the first to tell you that they're far, far, far from their accomplishment, they have a lot of candidates running that are liberty-minded. For example, on the Democratic ballot in New Hampshire, there's a very liberty-oriented candidate running for a ward alderman. There is a Democratic candidate who's a libertarian leaning for county commission and also for register of probate. On the flip side, the Republican primary ballot, there are a couple more candidates for ward of aldermen and state senate and governor all have libertarian leaning Republican, Democrat, independent, and write-in candidates. How many states can you say have liberty-oriented candidates running for election? Very, very few of them do. So we'd love to see some of our guys win office up in New Hampshire tonight. We're not holding our breath, and it's not us being negative. It's just saying that they have a huge, huge uphill battle. They got to climb a very big, big mountain to get to the other side to represent people from a liberty point of view. And I think it's a good time in the show now for us to take our bottom of the hour break. And then we will come back on the other side of this break and we will be heading downhill with the rest of the show, talking a little bit about the boogeyman. You're listening to TNT Radio Show, Tuesday Night Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network.
Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for holding on here at the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. Now, we said before the break, we teased it, that we were going to talk about the boogeyman. And what, oh, pray tell, is the boogeyman? Well, it's ISIS, of course. All we hear lately is ISIS is the boogeyman. But we want to tell you a little bit more about this boogeyman. Remember, it was Al-Qaeda. That was the name they had for the boogeyman for 10 or 12 years. And now we've changed the name, if not the face of the boogeyman, and now we're calling it ISIS instead of Al-Qaeda. So you want to know a little bit more about what's really going on behind ISIS, a.k.a. Al-Qaeda, a.k.a. the boogeyman? It's not really something that I get worked up about, and I think a good article that I saw that just came out, yeah, commentator Pat Buchanan arguing that illegal immigration is a much greater long-term threat to us than ISIS. Buchanan says that the illegal immigration thing is what's going to shift American politics. And he says it's because the United States itself is in tremendous long-term danger. He thinks that the bleeding border around our southern border, the mass movement of peoples all around the world into this country, the decomposition of the country socially and culturally and politically, that this all seems to be far greater threat to the United States than those dreaded boogeymen that they call ISIS. Buchanan says that the illegal immigration is going to shift American politics, stating that, quote, it's going to change the politics in America, because given the mammoth size of the welfare state and folks coming in by and large who are very poor and lack education and the rest of it and become increasingly dependent upon government, I think this is going to result in a gradual increase in Democratic Party strength, Buchanan said. He said also, quote, it's going to seem to be very difficult if you believe in smaller government or individual opportunity, you believe in things that are conservative, to get back on track. And that's why he says in this article that was put out, looks like from what I'm seeing, this article was put out over at, I'm stalling here, over at Breitbart TV. And he was talking about how illegal immigration is a far, far greater threat to us than ISIS, but nobody cares about illegal immigration. They care about ISIS all of a sudden, because that's the latest name for the boogeyman. And if you want to know how ISIS got so strong, maybe we should look at our military contractors. Yep, we're going to talk a little bit about what Eisenhower warned us about, the military-industrial complex. You see, earlier this week, the Stars and Stripes, which is the official Pentagon newspaper and website, posted an article calling for contractors to fight ISIS. and provide other services in Israel. I'm sorry, in Iraq. According to the Pentagon organ there, the Stars and Stripes, contractor duties would, quote, fall with the existing mission and will focus on administration, force development, procurement acquisition, contracting, training management, public affairs, logistics, personnel management, professional management, blah, 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 blah. And as of February, according to the Wall Street Journal, we had over 5,000 specialist contractors working over there in between the tension between the Arabs and the Kurds and the Sunni and the Shias. Hundreds of contractors working for America's biggest defense companies are taking on a broader role in helping Iraq's military learn to use new weapons in the battle against Islamic insurgents. Across Iraq, military specialists are helping the Iraqi military maintain its growing number of surveillance drones, attack helicopters, and powerful missiles. So I'm looking over the story here, and we have a contractor record out there with the reputation not being the great. If you go back to Iraq in year 2007, we remember that Blackwater employees shot and killed 17 civilians in Baghdad's Nisour Square. And we also know that Blackwater lost its license to operate in the country of Iraq after the killings. And earlier this month, just a few days ago, actually, we have a jury in Washington still working on this case. This jury is, and I anticipate their results, because the jury in Washington is deliberating on whether four contractors are guilty of murder. You see, in 2010, the, quote, Iraqi war logs, unquote, were made public by WikiLeaks. And it revealed that several dozen instances of military contractors, primarily Blackwater and the British outfit Irinis, E-R-I-N-Y-S, that they are engaged in escalation of force and other mischief. Quite possibly, there are many, many more incidents in which civilians were injured or even killed, which was never reported. Some of the reports may have been altered before they were entered into the system. But given the other records that were found, at the very least, WikiLeaks has revealed that Blackwater and other private security companies are guilty of many more injuries and killings than the media had previously reported. You don't hear a lot of stories telling you how horrible Blackwater is, do you? No. So anyway, moving on, more about the boogeyman, because you all want to believe that this ISIS, a.k.a. Al-Qaeda, a.k.a. name of the week, is out to get you. And I don't doubt that there's some of them who are. But let's just look at what's going on in these other countries. If you had there for quite a while, we know that that the ISIS buildup in these other countries was such that we would hear about how, oh, they're taking over everything. They're taking over everything in Syria and everything in Iraq and everything in Libya. But the problem I have is, how are we supposed to believe that millions and millions of people in Syria and Iraq and so on, along with 3,000 of our own contractors, I'm sorry, 3,000 ISIS, Freudian slip there, have all of them under control within a few months? Did the common people just lie down and let it happen? Or did they not care? Or is it a myth? But we keep hearing how there's only 3,000 members of ISIS, and there are millions of people in Iraq, in Syria, and so on. If you had 1,000 people for every one young kid who's supposedly this rebel in ISIS, you would have 1,001. You could do whatever you wanted with that person. That's the numbers we're looking at, unless we're not being told the truth about it. And if it's spreading and it's much larger than it tells it is, So, looking at some more notes here. Back to U.S. news. We know the Republicans are telling Obama that they need his terror strategy on how to deal with ISIS. And folks, it's getting very scary because remember, we're coming up on Thursday, which will be the 13th anniversary of the September 11th attack. So we don't know if they are aware of something that's about to happen or if there's a false flag about to happen. We don't know. And this is the problem with these terrorism events. I don't doubt that there's some people out there that really, really do hate the United States. I don't believe it's one of those things where they hate us for our freedom always necessarily. I think that's a neocon cop-out. But I also think that when people are wanting to do us harm and they're staying over there and we're fighting them over there, why are we so scared about this group? We keep hearing, oh, they're in Mexico and they're training, Dale. They're in Mexico and they're training and they're on their way. Well, are they on their way? Because, again, we look at what's going on overseas and we look at ISIS, and I'll say it yet again. If these people have control over the Middle East and we are to believe that there are 3,000 of them, but there are millions of people in Syria and millions of people in Iraq and so on, do they all just lie down and let it happen, or do they not care? Again, I'll say it, or is it a myth? What are we to believe is the reason that this boogeyman of the month that nobody had ever heard of is all of a sudden in charge of the Middle East? That's what they're telling us. They're telling us that, and I understand we're reading stories about how Christians are being killed and abused. Folks, I'm sorry. Christians have been getting killed and abused in the Middle East for years and decades. It's nothing new. If we occupy Iraq for 10 years, why is it nobody noticing all the tanks and weaponry and U.S. and European all flying into the desert? I had people ask me this week, do I believe that ISIS has non-Muslims in their army? And I said most likely. I believe that there's probably either small-brained mercenaries on the bottom of the front, or there's Western-trained executives who are probably trained at some of our higher schools of learning. They're probably at the higher end because it seems pretty artificial. Again, we do find the killings of these Christians to be devastating, but no one cared about the massive genocide of Christians for 20 years over there. The press just wants to do stories on it now because they have an agenda. Again, ISIS, the lie that 3,000 guys that nobody's ever heard of a month ago can now conquer billions of people unless we start another war. Going to go to the phone lines here on the TNT radio show. I believe our good friend Paul is on the line. Paul, are you with us?
Hi, ISIS that we haven't heard of, and they're using our equipment that we left behind.
Ding, 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 ding. Yep, that's, you could say equipment we left behind. Well, equipment that our contractors gave to them, Paul. Tell me, where did this boogeyman come from? If we're not supposed to talk about how we trained them, because, you know, that's hearsay when we talk about how we trained people who did the attacks on September 11th. It's hearsay when we talk about how we trained Al-Qaeda. So what are we supposed to believe? Just a fairy tale that, like the tooth fairy, they came up out of nowhere, Paul?
Well, excuse me. Dale, I think that I know you're being you're making a point here, but this isn't a fairy tale.
No. Nope.
But the question becomes what is the end game? What do they really want? And I refer to is the ruling elite, not just in the United States, but on the globe. So. I'm in agreement with you. If you are suggesting there might be a bigger game at work here, more of a conspiracy worldwide, I could get into that a little bit, Dale. I could.
I know there is. I mean, you have a president who gets on TV and blatantly lies about ISIS on TV. You see him show up on Meet the Press, or the press, what they call it, whoever the newest hack that sat down there, and he sets out to supposedly correct a set of blunders that he's recently made about ISIS. And you know, I don't really care if he goes out there golfing. I don't know if I even believe that this video of the beheading of an American journalist was legitimate. I have no way to prove that's real or not. And we hear, oh, he has no strategy. Well, yeah, it's true that he's either made more mistakes on the on this front. Again, it's back to the same thing that they said with George W. Bush. On one hand, you had people talking about how incompetent and horrible and lackadaisical and how he was like the Barney Fife in the executive wing. But then on the flip side, we heard about what evil men that they were in office. And it's the same old argument. We look out there and they're serving the same Rockefeller and masters, the same banksters at the top. It can be said for Obama. Is he really that stupid or is it by design? And they can call him ISIS or ISIL. I've seen ISIL, whatever the hell they call them, the Al-Qaeda-linked Islamic State of Iraq, blah, blah, blah. But Obama is out there trying to cover up now. And he doesn't even know what he's supposed to be saying. Maybe the controllers, maybe the ones pulling the strings, haven't explained it to him that even though he's a lame duck president, that he better do what they tell him.
Well, you know, Dale, you kind of touched on a prevailing belief amongst a lot of Americans, and that is that Obama is a really intelligent human being. I would suggest that based on the evidence during his 6 years so far, that Obama isn't necessarily all that intelligent, okay? He's not that intelligent because since he lacks the experience in running anything, and I mean he doesn't even have experience running a lemonade stand on the street corner as a kid, but he lacks this experience, and so he is in fact having to be told what to do. And there have been times when I think that he has deviated from the script, and
yeah.
He looks horrible when he does that. There's an
when you're an actor, you can't deviate from the script when you're a paid actor, Paul, and that's what these guys are. And I know it's been really popular to talk about how he reads from a teleprompt, but how's that different from what all the other presidents have done, at least the last few? How's what he's doing any different?
Because
Bill Clinton or George W. Bush. We always heard about with George W. Bush, and I'm sorry, he really didn't have any experience doing anything either. He might have been governor, but the guy ran a baseball team into the ground and bankrupted and gutted the thing at a time when baseball businesses were making billions of dollars, and somehow he couldn't even keep that afloat. But yet he was the next guy up to hold the spot in the executive wing, and I think you nailed it. These guys are paid hacks. And they can't deviate from the script, and they look really stupid because that's the key. They're empty suits. They're taking orders from above, and that's why I said right before I brought you on the air that they better not go away from what their controllers tell them to do, Paul.
Obama deviates a little bit from the George Bush model. George Bush, who I like to refer to as the shrub, he deserved all the criticism that he did obtain, okay?
Yep.
But one of the things that George Bush, I don't think, ever pretended that he knew more than his handlers did. Okay. But Obama, on the other hand, this man is – I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I thought you were talking about the little shrub or the big shrub?
Yeah, the little shrub or the big shrub. But Obama deviates from the script, and because he believes that he is ordained by God to do whatever it is that he wants to do, and I think that really causes his handlers a lot of distress. I think they're probably consuming more Tums per capita than they ever have before. But yeah.
Well, I think just to get back to what we were saying, Paul, about the ISIS thing. When they think I'm doing this conspiracy crap and they think I'm doing paranoia here, General Thomas McInerney was just on Fox News not too long ago, and he acknowledged that we built ISIS. So when they think that I'm making this up, and I'm not a big good neocon, of course, because I'm going against the script, because you know if somehow, and I've said this before, how would it be any different if Obama had lost to either John McCain or Mitt Romney? You know, if we were doing the same crap under either one of those guys, all the neocons would embrace it and say, you know, you got to love America, you know, love it or leave it, you're either with us or against us. So they would love it then. And we already see people like Boehner up in Congress, John Boehner, the House Speaker, is begging Obama to go attack ISIS. Well, that sounds great and fine and dandy, but General Thomas McInerney said that we built ISIS as a result of them obtaining weapons from the Benghazi consulate in Libya, which had just been attacked by the jihadists 2 years ago. When he was asked what he thought about arming these guys in ISIS, McInerney said the policy had been a failure. He said, We backed, I believe, in some cases, the wrong people. Duh, we've been doing this for decades, and we saw it happen when they sided with Saddam. But then Saddam spoke out of order. He didn't go along with the New World Order. He had to be taken out and hanged, literally. We know the same thing happened with Gaddafi. Gaddafi made some comments against the New World Order. See, he had to be taken out. Is ISIS anything more than just an army of the New World Order, Paul?
I think, Dale, the best answer to that lies in a statement that I believe you made a few weeks ago on your show. It has to do with the military-industrial complex.
Yep.
And I believe the statement went something like this, that industry can make more from war in a week than they can in a year worth of peace.
Yeah.
And since the whole world economy is driven by, again, by a relatively small number of entities, you have to wonder. You have to ask the question and wonder what the real answer is about how much control and influence does the military-industrial complex, which, by the way, just to remind everyone, that President Dwight David Eisenhower gave us stern warnings about, and it wasn't like General Eisenhower was not knowledgeable. In fact, he used to be right smack dab in the middle of that, but he gave us a stern warning to be ever vigilant against the military-industrial complex, and unfortunately, it looks like we have failed to heed General Eisenhower's warning. Why we are where we are today.
Well, we really believe
a lot of people make some of your outlook, mm-hmm. Dale, as somewhat of a conspiracy. I've been someone who would be skeptical of people in conspiracy. I'll tell you, when you take a look at the big picture mm-hmm. and ask the right questions, Dale, there is something going on. Goes way beyond coincidence. Way beyond coincidence.
You're cutting out there a little bit, Paul. But, the thing about it is with the ISIS, we know, you and I know, they didn't just come out of nowhere. And, again, maybe if they really thought this group was a concern, they should have been monitoring ISIS instead of spying on American citizens. And you hear these people in the public. Yeah, we hear, the American people think that this is the worst Congress ever. Well, the American people might be having their broken clock theory there. They might get there once or twice a day for they're right about something. But I don't know if this Congress is truly worse than any other ones. You're really cutting on now, Paul. The black helicopters must be swooping in. I have to put some hold there. But again, this Congress is no worse than the Congresses we've had in the last several years. But the same American people will make dumbass comments like, I think ISIS is going to do this and this and this. You don't know a damn thing about ISIS. You haven't done your research. You haven't researched the propaganda that they're feeding you, because if you did, you'd look at how the U.S. trained ISIS at secret Jordan bases. We know that the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIS as they call it, were trained by U.S. instructors. You can go back and look at the research. You can see pictures out there where they're being trained, where dozens of ISIS members were trained at the time as part of covert aid to the insurgent targeting the regime of Syrian president. Remember when we wanted to go to war in Syria and there was a huge public outrage, thank God, against that? And the Jordanian officials had said ISIS members had received U.S. training to fight in Syria, and they were vetted to make sure they weren't tied to groups like Al-Qaeda. So they admit that ISIS were the good guys at that point. They spin the wheel, folks, and it's the wheel of torture, because you don't know where it's going to end up at. And you don't know who they're going to call the next bad guy, the next boogeyman. We've seen former Al-Qaeda commanders come out and say that this group, this jihadist group, was a part of the CIA. We saw where Nabil Naeem, the founder of the Islamic Democratic Jihad Party, told an Arab TV station, this is just going back about 2 months ago, that ISIS worked for the CIA. Naeem said that ISIS is part of the neocon clean break plan to balkanize the Arab and Muslim Middle East. He said the conflict was designed to be a, quote, endless war. And you got to have an endless war, like Paul said, to feed this industrial complex, the war machine. And Naeem said the endless war would exhaust Saudi resources and monies and exhaust Iranian resources and monies like they did during the days of Saddam in Iraq. I just want you to do your research, folks. Paul realized that the conspiracy theories weren't theories. When we talk about conspiracies, folks, we're talking about them because they're conspiracy realities, not because they're theories. We don't get on here and talk about what football player beat up his girlfriend or his wife. We don't get on here and talk about reality TV and pop culture, bubblegum bullshit. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about fast food restaurants and the newest iPhone. We talk about the stuff that nobody else is talking to you about. We hope you listen to all the shows here on the My View Matters Network. They run shows here on this network Sunday night through Thursday night. The aforementioned Ken Molman, our good friend, like I said, runs the Sunday night show. And, of course, Ed Springsteen runs this network where he does shows on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday. So we hope you'll listen to all the shows. We hope you'll keep informed and listen to something that's not the mainstream press. Stop believing what they tell you in the mainstream. Get a grip on what's going on out there. Realize what Dwight D. Eisenhower said. And if I can pull up his quote here quickly, I know we have talked about this quote here before, and I want to just go out with it if we can, talk about what Dwight D. Eisenhower said in his farewell address about the military-industrial complex. This is 53 years ago, and I'm reading over it here, and he said, Dwight D. Eisenhower, leaving office, the conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence is felt in every city, every state, every office of federal government. We must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of the combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meaning of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals so that security and liberty may prosper together. And that's the problem, folks. The citizenry is not knowledgeable, or they wouldn't be falling for this crap. They wouldn't be falling for whatever boogeyman is put up in front of them. It's not left versus right. It's not black versus white. It's not gay versus straight or Israeli versus Lebanese or Christian versus Jew. It's the government versus you, folks. You can stand on the side of us and Dwight D. Eisenhower against this kind of ridiculous buildup and the gods of war, or you can fall victim to the New World Order. Choose wisely.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.